I want to go back to our theme for the year and share a lesson this morning. From time to time, we will be sharing lessons, as you are aware, those of us at Northwest, that our theme is revive, renew, and restore. So I want to share a lesson with you this morning on the second part of that theme. We've already done a couple of lessons in times past on renew. We want to share another one with you this morning. And perhaps the next Sunday we'll do the same thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Thank Brother Neil Conruffin for reading our scriptures this morning. Let me just share it again and read it as we begin our lesson for the day. Paul says, by inspiration, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Daily spiritual renewal is what we want to talk about this morning. In the verses prior to what was read this morning, particular verses 8 through 12, the Apostle Paul had talked about all the challenges of suffering and the difficulties that had come his way. Particularly in verses 8 and 9, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned or forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. In spite of all of the challenges and the afflictions and sufferings that the Apostle Paul had experienced, there was something that kept his spirit renewed. It was what lay ahead for the faithful child of God. As we find him saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have, he says, a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. That is what kept the apostle charged up. Even though he was undergoing persecutions and trials and troubles, perplexities, all of these things had come and were coming upon him, he did not let them discourage him because he knew that something better lay ahead. And so he says again in verse 16, for this cause we don't lose heart. We don't give up. We faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed on a daily basis. The devil would like nothing better than to distract us from our spiritual goal so that we will no longer focus on the eternal. But we will keep our eyes glued on the temporal. Therefore, it is needful that each day of our lives we constantly renew our spiritual inner man. It needs to be done on a daily basis. Because if the devil can get our eyes off of our spiritual goal today, he probably can get them off tomorrow. Don't give the devil one inch. Don't allow him to be victorious over us. Not at all. But I know we live in a fallen world. I know we are subject to failure. So sometimes he will get the best of us. But it should not be our aim and our goal to give in to him. And I think what will help us to be victorious over him again is to have what we're talking about this morning, a daily spiritual renewal. Several things I want to talk about, but as I've said, this will probably be a series, at least a couple of Sundays, at least, maybe more, depending on how slow the clock runs. Because of all of the things that happen in our lives and in this world, if we are weak and if we give in to it, we may cause ourselves to question God. Why? Me, why is all of this thing happening to us? Why is all of these calamities in the world? We may lose our love for the Lord. So I think on a daily basis, we need to constantly renew our love for the Lord. Every day that God blesses us to awake, we ought to renew our love for him. Because he is a good God and he is a merciful God. Jeremiah said it like this in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and verse 22 and 23. He says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." You know why we're here this morning? It's because of the Lord's mercies. It's because of his grace, yes, but it's also because of his mercies. So he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. And then verse 23, he says this, talking about his mercies. They are new, what? Every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm glad that God's mercies are new every morning. Every day, God's mercies are new toward me. They are new towards you. So if God's mercies are new toward us, don't you think that our love ought to be continuously renewed on a daily basis toward him? God is a good God. He's a merciful God. He gives us another day to praise him through faithful living. Praise him is not all about shouting and saying hallelujah. Amen. Praise is more about our lifestyle of living for him, showing the world that he is a good God. And so we need to be praising him through our faithful living. Our God who is merciful, our God who is good, he blesses us with good and perfect gifts. There is not one thing that God gives to us that is not good and not perfect. Why? Because he is a good God and he is a perfect God. Everything that emanates from him is good and perfect. I'm thankful that he is a good God. James says it like this in James chapter 1, And verse number 17, he says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? Above. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. God doesn't change. He's not going to be good today and not so good tomorrow. He's not like us. Circumstances don't dictate his goodness. Sometimes circumstance will dictate how good we are. But God is not like that. He's not one who changes. Malachi 3:16 says, I am the Lord, I change not. God is a constant God. So then, in him, the Bible says, there is no variableness. God is a good God. And even when things seem to be not so good, they will work out together for our good. I'm thankful that God is a God that would work out things for my good. All because, again, his mercies are new every morning. His compassion faileth not. And he is a faithful God. I said that when things seem not to be so good, they will still work out together for our good when we're faithful to the Lord. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 8 and verse number 28. He says, all things, for we know. Look at the confidence that Paul has. He has the same confidence that he had when he wrote 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. For we know that if there our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved. He says the same, use the same terminology. For we know that all things, he says, work together for good to them that what? Love God. That's what I'm talking about. We need to renew our love for God each and every day, because the things that will work out good, he qualifies it. It's only for those who love the Lord, who love God, and who are the call, he says, according to his purpose. God is a good God. And so things will work out in our lives when we love the Lord, when we are his call, when we are doing his will, they'll work out for our good. I call your attention this morning to the story of Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, all the way through Genesis chapter 50, is the story of Joseph. And some things happened in Joseph's life that were not so good. But you know what? Because the good God was working in Joseph's life, they worked out for his good. Joseph was one who was hated by his brothers. And so because of their hatred for him, they first wanted to kill him. But then they were persuaded not to kill him by one of the brothers. Thank God for Reuben. That's a great brother that don't want you to be killed. Some of our brothers want us to be killed. Maybe not physically. But some of our brothers want us to be killed spiritually, killed emotionally. But Reuben didn't want Joseph to be killed. So he persuaded his brothers to put him in a pit, hoping to come back and to rescue him. But before he had a chance to do that, of course, a band of Ishmaelites came along, and they decided to sell Joseph. And these Ishmaelites took Joseph, and they carried him on into Egypt. And the man down there by the name of Potiphar bought him, and he became Potiphar's servant. But while being a servant of Potiphar, he was accused of attempting to sexually molest or attack Potiphar's wife. And naturally, that didn't go over good with Potiphar. But notice I said he was accused falsely. He was accused falsely. And Potiphar had him put into prison. But you know what? The good God took care of him while he was in prison. While being in prison, he met two other fellows that had offended the Pharaoh. One a butler, one a baker. And these two guys had a dream. One had a dream, the butler had a dream, and he couldn't interpret his dream, didn't know what it meant. But he came to Joseph and shared that dream with Joseph. And Joseph interpreted the dream, not of his own interpretation, but God worked that interpretation out for him. And basically the interpretation was that you're going to be rescued from this prison. The baker told his dream, and Joseph said that you're going to be executed here in this prison. And sure enough, it happened. But Joseph had said this to the butler, when you get out, please, I want you to remember me. But the Bible says he forgot Joseph. He got his freedom and he forgot all about Joseph. And then 2 years later, the Pharaoh had a dream. And then it all came back. I remember that was a Hebrew down there in prison with me that interpret our dreams. And so he told him about Joseph. Joseph interpreted the Pharaoh's dream. And the Pharaoh's dream interpretation was that there was going to be 7 years of fatness, if you will, or the land was going to bring forth plentifully. And then there was going to be 7 years of famine. The Pharaoh was pleased with that. And he says that we need to find a man that we can put over this land to get us prepared for what is to come. And he said there's nobody better than Joseph to do that. Joseph was put over the land. And do you not know that his brothers that wanted to kill him at first, that sold him into slavery, his brothers had to come to him for grain. But they didn't recognize who he was. In the process of time, the Bible says that eventually, because Joseph had so much love in his heart, of course, for his brothers, that he couldn't conceal it any longer. And so he finally revealed himself to them. I'm your brother that you sold way back yonder. And of course, this put fear in their heart. But everything rocked along pretty good. He gave them the grain and that kind of, I'm paraphrasing the story. It's a long story. So I'm paraphrasing, but I'm trying to tell us and trying to show us how this good God works out things for our good when we love him. Joseph was a man who was faithful to God, and God was working out things for his good. And so Joseph, of course, took care of his brothers. But all the time, again, they are afraid. And then eventually, their father died. Well, when the father died, and they went and buried the father, and now they come back to Joseph, and they know for sure now that dad is gone now, because all in their conversations that they would come to Joseph, Joseph was always asking about their father. And that father is gone now, so they know now that Joseph, he's going to get some revenge. But listen to what the Bible says in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50 and verse number 19. The Bible says this, "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for I am I in the place of God." In other words, God is the one that's going to get, that will get revenge. It's not my business to get revenge. That's God's job. And let me pause to say this to all of us this morning. When somebody wrongs us, leave it to God. It's not our job to get revenge. The Bible says, "Vengeance is mine. I will repay," says the Lord. So don't try to take God's job. Matter of fact, we can't take it. But sometimes people want to take God's job. So Joseph says, I'm not in the business of executing God's job. But notice what he says. "But as for you, you thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people." alive. God was working out this thing in Joseph's life so that Joseph would be the one that would save his own brethren. And, of course, the whole nation of the Israelites there. He would save them from the famine or from the drought. But God was working this thing out for good. But then there's something else that's about the story that before he said that, of course, while the father's still alive and he's having a conversation with his brethren, he said this to them in Genesis chapter 45 and verse number 5. Look what he said. He said, "Now therefore, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves," he says, "that you sold me hither." He says, "For God did send me before you to preserve life." Who did it? God. Yes, they were the physical ones that did it, but it was all in God's plan. God, the God who is infinite in wisdom, knew that a famine was going to be in that land. And he knew he was going to use Joseph to deliver them from that famine. And so he goes on and says, "For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest." And then he goes on and says, "And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." He said, "You didn't send me here. God was the one that sent me here." What am I talking about? I'm talking about, again, sometimes when things happen in our lives that we can't understand, we just may have a tendency to want to give up on God. Why am I in this circumstance? If we are faithful to God, we need to believe that somehow God is going to work this situation out for my good. In all of Joseph's dealing, he never gave up on God. He realized again that God was a good God. And as Grandmama used to say a long time ago, I understand what she means now. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know the Lord is going to make a way somehow. That needs to be our attitude when things go awry in our lives. If we know that we are faithful to the Lord, as Paul said about his situation, we're troubled on every side, but we're not forsaken. Or we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're not going to become depressed over this situation. I don't realize why people are hating me because of the gospel, but I'm not going to let it tear me down, because there's something better that I'm waiting for. The outward man may perish, but the inward man is going to be renewed day by day. But if we let the devil take our eyes off of God and focus on the things that are happening to us, we're going to be messed up. If Joseph had taken his eyes off of God, he would have been messed up. He knew he hadn't done anything wrong, but he allowed God to work it out. Because he says, "It was God that sent me here." So he was basically doing the will of God. So again, I'm saying that our love for God needs to be renewed every day. Every time we wake up, we ought to wake up thanking God for his goodness, loving God for another day, loving him for being compassionate, loving him for being merciful, loving him for working in our lives. And we ought to love him because he first loved us. Listen to what he says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19. He says, "We love him." Why? Because he first loved us. Thank God that he loved us. And because he loved us, if we are members of his body, if we have been redeemed by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, then we have been saved from our sins. And it is because of our God's mercy and because of God's grace and because of God's love. Paul said this to Titus in Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. He says, but after the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. That same mercy that is renewed every day. Remember what Jeremiah said? His mercies are new every morning. That same mercy is what saved us. He says, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Ghost, which he shed abundantly on us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So, brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors this morning, if it were not for the mercy of God, grace would not be extended to us. Yes, we got to have the grace. We're saved by grace. But if it were not for mercy, grace wouldn't have a chance. Because mercy withholds from us what we deserve. All of us deserve spiritual death. But grace says, I know that they deserve spiritual death, but I'm going to give them life that they don't deserve. So in order for grace to do its thing, mercy had to first do his thing. So it's because of the mercy of God, Paul says, that he saved us. Our God is a merciful God. He's a loving God. So our love then for God need to be new every day. It needs to be a daily renewal of our love for God. And it's manifested. Our love for God is manifested through our obedience to him. The Bible says this in John 14 and verse 15. The Bible says, if Jesus is speaking, says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we love him, then that shows to the world again that we are his children by the fact that we are keeping his commandments. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 through 3. Verse number 1, if I'd start there, verse 1 says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Notice again what it says in verse number 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. The love of God in this verse is not the love that God have for us, but it's the love that we have for God. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. So I'm appealing to us this morning. Let's renew our love for God each and every day. Don't allow Satan to get into your mind and have you to say stuff like some people will say when you walk in the office and say to them, good morning. And they say, what's good about this morning? Well, one thing that's good about this morning is that you are able to hear me say good morning to you. But if you allow Satan to work in your mind, you'll start looking again at all of the things that are going on around about you. And you will somehow not have the love for God that you ought to have. So again, don't give Satan not one inch. Because you know the saying, give him an inch, he'll take a mile. And I say he'll take 20 miles. So don't allow him to have any room in your life. So every day you get up, renew your love for God, because he is indeed a good God. And so I say to you, God loved us. And he sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Even the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, even when we were in our sins, Christ died for the ungodly. Thank God for a God of love who would do that. Didn't wait for us to love him. Matter of fact, we couldn't love him because we were in our sins. And so he didn't wait for us to love him. But he sent his son to die for us even while we were in our sins. What a great God. What a compassionate God. What a loving God. What a God that we ought to love and renew our love for him each and every day. Thank God for being a God of love. Now, do you really love God? Well, John says, if you love him, he says, keep my commandments again, speaking the words of Jesus. But then he goes on in verse number 21 and also verse number 23. He says, he that loveth me keepeth my sayings. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So you know what that's saying? That said that we can sing, oh, how I love Jesus, all day long. But if we don't back it up by keeping his commandments, Jesus is saying to us that we're singing a lie. And you can sing a lie, somebody say, as well as tell a lie. You can live a lie as well as tell a lie. So I would say to us then, because God is so good to us, we ought to keep renewing our love for him over and over and over again. You know, we sing that song sometimes, I keep falling in love with him over and over again. That's what I'm talking about this morning. That it ought to be a constant thing of renewing our love for God. You woke me up this morning, God. I thank you. I love you. You kept me through the day. I thank you, God. I love you. You gave me food to eat. I thank you, God. I love you. You gave me clothes to wear. I thank you, God. I love you. You gave me a place to stay. I thank you, God. I love you. And maybe I don't even have much, but you gave me somebody to bring me something. I thank you, God. I love you. It ought to be a constant renewal of love for God over and over in our lives on a daily basis. So Paul says, though our outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day. He says, while we look not at the things that are seen, because they are temporal, but we look at the things that are not seen, for they are eternal. But we know, if our earthly house of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building of God, eternal in heaven, that's not made with hands. I close by sharing this story. I've shared it on other occasions, and perhaps you remember it, but it's good to share again. This preacher visited this faithful sister who was basically on her sick bed and dying bed. And she said to him, when they have my service, I want you to have them place a fork in my casket. And of course, this is the first time the preacher had heard this. He's wondering now, why does she want me to do that? And so he asked her, well, I just got to ask you, why do you want me to put a fork in your casket? He says, Brother Preacher, you remember those good fellowship meals that we would have, and they have all those wonderful desserts just spread all over the table, and they tell folks, save your fork now, because the best is yet to come. She says, when they ask you why I got a fork in my casket, you tell them that the best is yet to come. So what am I saying? I'm saying that in spite of what we go through in this life,
If we keep renewing our love for God and our obedience to God and be faithful unto death, the best is yet to come. That keeps our focus where it ought to be. We could easily look at the political climate today and get our focus off of where it needs to be. We could easily, if you don't have much money, you could easily look at your financial situation and get your focus off where it ought to be. If you don't have many friends, you could easily look at your social relationship and get your focus off of where it ought to be. But if you keep looking at heaven, if you're a faithful child of God, you know that the best is yet to come. So what am I saying again? Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Let's constantly have a daily renewal of our love for God. If you're here then this morning, you've not obeyed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that so that you can look forward to the best that is yet to come. Hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. Repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. Confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Romans 10:9-10. Be baptized in water for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. When you do that, the Lord will add you to his church. Become a member of his church and be faithful unto death. No matter what comes, no matter what goes, you be faithful because God will be faithful to you. And Jesus again says, if you're faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. The Lord will add you to his church, the one that you can read about in the New Testament. Remain faithful and you can go to heaven. If you're already a member of the body of Christ, but somehow your love for God has grown weak, I want to encourage you this morning to renew your love.